Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. We're so grateful to have you tuning in on this fifth Sunday of Lent. Next week is Palm Sunday, and then we enter into our Holy Week observances with Easter Sunday as the culmination of that experience and that journey. And we hope that you will continue to tune in or watch our live stream, or if you happen to be in New Canaan, we'd love for you to be with us in person if that's something you're comfortable doing. But as we prepare for the Word, which is a message, I'll focus on the transfiguration of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. I want you to settle in and enjoy Greer Lyle singing for us and Carl Hedrick playing "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Let's worship together.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Greer and Carl. As I said, we are going to be looking at the story of the Transfiguration as it's told in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And in verse 1, it says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Now Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now, while Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And there's an exclamation point there, as if God is yelling. So God interrupts Peter and says, Listen to Jesus. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when the disciples looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, you have a word for us this morning. Maybe we are tuning in prepared to receive what you want to say, or whether we're just in the habit of bending our minds and attention to your word for a few moments with a few, if any, expectations. Would we pray that you would break in upon us in this time and speak to us that which you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you tuned in last week to Kibbe's sermon, I want to actually answer a question that she posed at the very beginning of her message last week. Why do we come to worship? Why do we come to church? Now, I know what the answer has been for me since my youth. I come to church to hear the voice of God. Now, honestly, as a pastor, sometimes I forget that I walk over here to this building to do my job. So last week's reminder was welcomed. But as a person of faith, my longing remains the same. I desire to hear God speak. I mean, from childhood, since I was really young, I always tried to listen to the pastor's sermon attentively, wondering, hoping, praying the entire time that something would be said that would feel directed toward me. When I lived a couple of towns over from here and we went to the Mount Kisco Presbyterian Church, our family would sit in the balcony and the preacher, a man by the name of Jack, who was quite compelling, would speak, and I'd be focused, so focused at the beginning of his sermon. But Jack would preach long sermons and sometimes stream of consciousness. So there I would be in the balcony trying to be attentive. And I just say this so that our younger folks know that even pastors-to-be have moments when their mind wanders. We'd sit in the balcony, and as Jack would kind of drone on, I'd start to lose my attentiveness, and I'd look at this huge chandelier that would hang in the middle of the sanctuary, and I'd start to think to myself, well, I wonder if I went to the edge of the balcony and gave my best jump, would I be able to grab onto that chandelier? And if I could I actually hold on, and would it hold my weight? And if I did that, would Jack stop his sermon or at least cut it a little bit short? I was sharing this with a confirmand later or earlier this week, and they said, you did that? Because that's what I do as you preach. So our chandeliers are a bit smaller in the meeting house, but I realize that the wavering attention is a common theme. But even though that was the case at times for me, my hope was always the same, to come to church, to listen, and to hear God speak. Now, for the past 22 years, our denomination, the United Church of Christ, has had a slogan, God is still speaking. That's it. God is still speaking. Now, I've been reluctant to embrace that slogan because it's actually based on a Gracie Allen quote. Gracie Allen died decades before her husband, George Burns. But after her death, Burns found this envelope addressed to him on her desk. The note inside read, George, never place a period where God places a comma. Never place a period where God places a comma. So this kind of really sweet indication of resurrection. In the year 2000, our denomination adopted that exact quote in its entirety as our church tagline, never place a period where God places a comma. And now, it has evolved, that slogan's evolved into God is still speaking, but if you look at the logos on our denominational website, they're all commas. It's there. Now, I have nothing against Gracie Allen, but I'm a great lover of Scripture, and I've always felt we probably could have found something in the Bible that was equally, if not more, compelling.
However, and I don't want to lose this, the message our denomination has been consistently proclaiming to the world for two decades is that our God is not silent. God still speaks. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me clearly, directively, definitively. I believe it. I just wonder sometimes, are we listening? I mean, if we long for the Lord's voice in our lives, and if we're not hearing it, what's to be done? Now, I think this text, this transfiguration story in which God speaks emphatically, yells, I think this story offers a few important clues. Now, in this story, we're told that Jesus is shown in all his glory, and God yells, shouts a word of instruction. Now, it doesn't get more revelatory than that, in my opinion. So how did it happen, and how could that kind of revelation happen for us? Well, I want you to notice the very first thing that set this event in motion. It says, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Jesus and a few of his disciples, get this, changed their location. They got away. They went somewhere different. They interrupted their routine. And you know, we tend to get into patterns of living, a rhythm, a flow, and honestly, there's something about a well-patterned life that can be quite pleasant. I mean, it's really nice to plan your day and for that plan to unfold without interruption or inconvenience. However, if you stay in that pattern too long, you can get into a rut and your attentiveness to life can dim. I mean, have you ever had that experience? You're driving to a familiar location, whether it's work or school or errands, and you kind of zone out along the way. And when you arrive, you can't quite remember how you got there. Well, that's when pattern has turned into rut. You know, it's evidence that you're not noticing what's going on around you. And I'm not going to get onto it, but just think of cell phones. My word, whether it's a youth or adults, you know, when we're on our cell phone, we can't see 2 feet beyond what we're seeing on that screen. And it's not easy for God to speak to people who aren't paying particular attention. I mean, one of the best ways to reestablish attentiveness is to change your location. Mix things up. Go up a mountain apart. Put down the phone. Go on a mission trip. Change jobs if you have to. Go someplace you've not been before, or take a different route to a place you always go. Talk to strangers. Welcome interruptions. Choose to change plans. You see, the breaking of pattern can be a prelude to a communication with God. Now, the second thing this story tells us about hearing the voice of the Lord is to resist the temptation to get busy. Resist the temptation to get busy. You know, the most ridiculous aspect of this story is Peter's reaction to this miraculous event. It's ridiculous, and it's all too real. So I don't know how it happened, but it says Jesus was illuminated. He started to glow. Moses and Elijah, two of the most important figures in the Hebrew faith, appear. They have a conversation with Jesus. There's this incredibly revelatory moment. And what did Peter do? He interrupts. Peter interrupted Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He essentially said, hey, Lord, don't know if you still saw me, James, and John standing here. We're still here. And it's good we're here, Lord, because we can build three houses, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, as this very same story is told in the Gospel of Mark, it says Peter said this because he didn't know what to say. You know, there's another option when you don't know what to say. Keep your trap shut and just take in the moment. But Peter couldn't, because I think, frankly, Peter's a lot like us. You know, we don't like being idle. We don't like standing still in a moving world. We like to be involved. We like to be active. In fact, when we don't know what to do in a given situation, typically, we just busy ourselves doing whatever. I mean, how many of you are really busy right now? You know, when people ask you how you're doing, do you respond by saying, hey, I'm busy? Enter ministry, to be ordained in the United Church of Christ, you have to have a psychological evaluation, which I did in my discernment time in seminary. And I'll never forget, I was talking to this psychologist, and she was asking me about my family of origin and Tammy and what people did. And I was listing off all the activities that my mom, my dad, my siblings, Tammy, and I engaged in. And she said, why does your family need to be so busy? Boy, that struck me. What is the need that drives our busyness? It's a tough question, but not a bad question to have to ask ourselves. If we're always so busy, we can't be fully present to what's going on in front of us. You know, God could be shouting for our attention, and it wouldn't matter. We can't hear. We got too much going on. And you know, we need to resist that temptation toward busyness if we want to hear God speak. Okay, so change your location, resist busyness. The final observation I want to make about hearing the voice of the Lord is the need for attentiveness to the words. Get this, the Lord has already spoken. I mean, did you hear what God shouted at the three disciples? God interrupts Peter and says, listen to him, listen to Jesus. Now, the Greek word for listen used here might additionally be translated heed. Heed Jesus. Don't just hear Jesus, follow his instructions. Do what Jesus says. Be attentive to Jesus' guidance. You know, in our men's small group meeting this week, we were focusing on the section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where Jesus encourages us to turn the other cheek when struck, to love our enemies, to pray for those who abuse us. You know that section. And I'll tell you, it's an interesting text to read on a week when a slap on an Oscar stage was heard and seen around the world. I mean, here's the thing. Jesus has already made some fairly provocative and potentially transformative commands for us to follow. You know, words have already been spoken. I mean, if we dare to listen, if we dare to heed, if we dare to follow Jesus as God suggests in the Transfiguration story, I'll tell you, the revelations afforded us could be remarkable and fairly regular occurrences. You know, Gracie Allen quote and the comma aside, I do really believe God is still speaking. I believe God desires to speak to you in ways that inform and give shape to your life. The question for us really is, are we listening? You know, whether it's the reason you come to church or not, there is a word from the Lord for you. And to just take this a little baby step further, perhaps the word for you today is right in front of you in this text. I mean, just to follow for a moment more. So God shouts for the disciples to listen to Jesus. And then, did you take note of the very next thing Jesus said? It was the only thing he said. God yelled, shouted, listen to Jesus, and then Jesus spoke a word some of us might really need to hear this morning. Did you hear what Jesus said? Do you remember? He said, get up and do not be afraid. Get up, do not be afraid. My overarching point this morning is that God still speaks and that we can hear if we are willing to make the effort to listen. But I don't want to overlook the possibility that the words Jesus speaks in this text, the only ones he speaks, are the words that God shouts for us to take note of might be the words that you need this very morning. Get up. Do not be afraid. You know, that's the word for someone here this morning. You've been knocked down. You've been dragged down, or simply you've tripped yourself up, and it's time. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to stand up. It's time to rise. You have spent enough time on the ground. I think you probably know if that word is intended for you this morning. Or perhaps you're fearful. You're fearful of COVID still, fearful maybe of escalating war, fearful that you don't or won't have enough. Perhaps fear has become a real limiting force in your life. To you, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Do not live a cowering existence. Live boldly, live bravely. Make the most of whatever time you've been given. That may be the word for others of us. Bottom line, the Lord has a sustaining and inspiring word for each and every one of us. God really does speak. And we can listen, we can hear, we can heed. We just need to get out of our well-worn patterns from time to time. We need to resist the temptation toward busyness. And we must dare to follow the commands our Lord has already spoken. Let's pray. Lord, whatever the word is that you want us to take away this morning, allow it to sink deep in our soul so that it can take root in us and grow. Allow your presence and your spirit to move with us throughout this week, guiding us in the directions you want us to go. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, church family, as you venture from this moment into your week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.